should I feel discouraged?
Free, for his own. wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez, granddaughter. Did y'all miss something? Did I miss something? Granddaughter, I didn't get that. Did y'all? He said, ask me later. Okay. All right. I missed it. Won't be the first time. John chapter 10, Isaiah 53. If you missed last Wednesday, we began last Wednesday evening on our study, The Savior and His Sheep, our new Wednesday night Bible study. So I wanted to just kind of rehearse a few things that we read last week. So if you'll find John chapter 10 and Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. If you found your place in John 10, Isaiah 53, let's stand together. We're going to read the first few verses of John 10, then we'll look at one verse in Isaiah chapter number 53. Jesus speaking, John chapter 10 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. I like that, don't you? God knows you by name. He's interested in every detail of your individual life. He says he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now we're going to read a verse out of verse number 11. If you'll look over there for just a moment, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But if you'll notice there in verse number 4, you see where he says, for they know his voice. That's the reason you can believe what you want. This is what I believe. When the Lord comes back and the shout of the archangel goes forth, I think only the believers are going to hear it. I think only the sheep are going to recognize the voice of the good shepherd. And that's the reason we're going to respond, right? You ever seen someone call a sheep out in the field? And you know they don't respond to a hireling. They respond to a certain sound, and normally that certain sound and that certain voice is that of the master, of the shepherd. And they respond. You've seen them, they head to the shepherd because it's called. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Did you notice that? All we like sheep. Did you notice he said like sheep? In other words, making the parallel that we as human beings, our life parallels that of a sheep. And we're going to look at that in a moment. He says, they've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're going to take these few verses tonight. And we're going to look at quite a few other verses tonight. And our study is going to continue on this subject, the Savior and his sheep. Father, would you meet with us now? Tonight in this service, we pray that you'd open our heart and our spirit that we might be responsive, Lord, to your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, do your work. You promised that you would. And so we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives tonight. And as we pray and listen tonight to what you have for us, Lord, I pray that you would do what's necessary in our lives to be able to draw us to a closer and better relationship with you. Teach us, we pray, the subject matter at hand, and we'll give all the glory and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, last week, we began our study talking about how that throughout Scripture, the Lord never compared us to an ox or a camel or a horse or anything like that. He compared us to a sheep. Can you imagine the comparison there? And by the way, it wasn't something that Jesus just compared believers to in his day. They were always compared to sheep. Because you know what? Human nature has not changed. It's been the same ever since the beginning of the fall of man. But we know from our studies last week that sheep have been a parallel. There's been some comparisons both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we learned last week that the great shepherd or the good shepherd is God Almighty or the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that's overseeing this whole thing, right? He's the one that's governing. He's the one that's watching over the entire process of your life and my life. But then God also puts before us and allows us to be ministered to through an under shepherd, one who has been called or put in the place of the good shepherd. that to be the voice of God and to be the communicator of the will of God from the Bible. Now, again, I mentioned last week, we have too many self-appointed shepherds. Shepherds are not self-appointed. Shepherds in the ministry have to be called of God. They have to be called by the divine voice of God and put in that place. You know how you can tell the real shepherds from the self-appointed ones? Because when the road gets tough, the hirelings run. The hirelings quit. The hirelings lead the sheep to the wolves. They say, you know what, this is not worth it. And boy, they're out of here. So that's the reason it's important to make sure that the shepherd is heavenly appointed and not self-appointed. Then we talked a little bit last week about the sheep and how important it was for their place under the care of the shepherd. And then we talked a little bit about the pasture, how important that is that the pasture be preserved and be conditioned, because the sheep are only going to feel comfortable where they feel safe. Remember us reading Psalm 23? Last week, the sheep will only feel comfortable and lay down. That's the reason that David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down." You know why? Because the good shepherd, the great shepherd, makes you feel comfortable. And that's the reason the sheep are going to feel comfortable if they know God is here. If they're going to come and they're going to feel confidence in the church and the things that are happening in the house of God. Now, what I want to do tonight, church, is cover three specific areas tonight. The first one I want us to look at for just a moment is the characteristics of sheep. The characteristics of sheep. Now, several things that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, sheep are very community-oriented. They like to be around other sheep. They like to flock up. They like to be around people. Now, the thing about it is, the bad thing is, sometimes it doesn't matter what people. You hear me? They just like to be around people. They're not very discerning in their ability to know when and what type of people to be around. And listen, many of you parents here tonight, many of you watch your kids like a hawk and you guard who they're around. You don't allow them to be around somebody that you know for a fact is not a good influence. And everybody said, amen, preacher. Yeah, you watch them, right? You want to make sure that there's somebody not influencing them to go the wrong way. Sheep, a flock, they like a flock, but they're very community oriented. They like groups. You know how I know that? Watch tonight after church. Walk out on the front porch and see what's going on. You know what the sheep are doing? Flocking up. That's what they're doing. Hey, when they come to church, you know what the sheep are doing? We're flocking up, right? Hey, we're getting together. Hey, what's going on? Watch. You ought to see how that sheep, I wish I had something to show here and show the nature. They love to be in groups. Listen, you know why they don't isolate themselves? Because of the weaknesses they have. They put themselves in danger when they isolate themselves. So they stay in groups. They're community oriented. The next thing I learned about sheep was this. They're very fearful and vulnerable. You know, one of the things about sheep, they don't trust very well. They don't trust a whole lot of people. The one person that they do trust is the shepherd. And that is if the shepherd has proven himself to be trustworthy. They put their trust in. But other than that, they are very untrusting beings. That's the reason you get a hireling out there and he calls the sheep, they're not going to come to him. Why? Because he's a stranger. They have not proven him. They don't know anything about him. Sheep are very fearful and they're very vulnerable. You know why they are, folks? Because they realize that there are a lot of predators. A lot of things can prey on sheep. And we don't have time to go into all that tonight, but can I say to you tonight, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of predators out there and they want you. They want to feast on you. They want to feast on your family. They want to get your kids, your marriage, your home. They want everything. There's predators. And many times sheep, they have the tendency to be fearful. They're not very trusting as far as trusting people or trusting others. They're very vulnerable, folks. And I think we can look in from Scripture here that we can see that we are very vulnerable people. That's the reason the safest place for you to be is right where you are. In a church, around the people of God, being fellowship with, and being and building your friendships among the people of God and other sheep. You know, I hardly ever see sheep hooking up with wolves or goats. What I'm saying to you folks is sheep like sheep. They like to be around. There's a safety factor there, but they're very fearful and vulnerable. The next thing I found out about sheep is they are naive to most everything outside their flock. They're very naive creatures. For instance, I have been told that a sheep, they can be eating and will literally eat themselves and fall right off a cliff. You know what? Because they're just like, they come to a cliff and they just grass, and that's it. They're very naive creatures. And folks, listen, come on, let's be honest, right? You know what? To a lot of things, you ought to be naive. You ought to be naive to a lot of things that are happening outside the flock. You ought to be naive to some of the things that are going on in the world. But let me tell you something, there's some things you don't need to be naive about. There's a real devil. There is a hell. People do go there. You don't need to be naive about that. Those are real things. But sometimes sheep are naive about most everything outside their flock. Next, they're very curious but careless creatures. They're very curious but careless creatures. Now, a lot of times sheep put themselves in danger. They don't mean to, but they do it carelessly. A lot of times they will walk a fence line and looking for a place to get out. They'll walk a fence line, look, see if there's a hole big enough, and they'll try to stick their head through there, get their body through there. But a lot of times they'll put themselves in danger and don't even realize they're in danger. Why? Because of the nature of sheep. But they're very curious creatures. You know what people are? Very curious people. Amen. And you know what Facebook is? Listen, I'm not jumping your case. I'm just telling. All right? You know what Facebook is? The world's dream is for curious people. You know what Twitter is for? Curious people. Folks, I don't want you to know what's going on in my life. All right? So you're not going to find me there. All right? Now, if you want to find it, that's your business. But I'm just saying, you know why people love it? Because we're curious. We like to know what's going on in everybody's life. See, Emory, I want to know what you ate for supper tonight. You know, why would I want to know that? Hope it was turnip greens. You got any leftovers? Oh, by the way, I want to say thank you, Mrs. Havens, for bringing me some okra. Glory to God. Now, what I'm saying is they're very curious. Oh, listen right here. Listen now. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sheep are very stubborn creatures also. Very stubborn. They, you know what? They get set in their ways, and they don't want to go. They won't want to move. Oh, by the way, they don't like change either. They don't like to get out of their comfort zone. Hey, when they're in a green pasture, why do we have to go over there? Why do we have to do this? Well, we kind of need to get some water. Well, I'm not thirsty. You see, they're very stubborn creatures. Probably, I don't know, they may rival a mule. I don't know. But they're stubborn. But folks, you know what most of us are? To a degree, come on, help me out. There's some areas that you're just plain stubborn in. Just like I am. We don't want to change, do we? We like things a certain way. Sheep sometimes are very stubborn. Next, they're very jealous creatures. They're very jealous creatures. They compete for dominance. They'll chew another sheep's ear off. They'll bite, kick. They'll do all of these things. You know why? Because they're looking for a pecking order. And you know what people will do? We bite, kick, chew ears off. You know what? Because we want to know what the pecking order is. We want to know, hey, can I be in charge? You know, we will push and push and push to see if we can take charge of something. Sheep are the same way. They're looking for a pecking order. They're very jealous creatures. Oh, listen to this now. They're also very copycat-natured creatures. Very copycat. One of them takes off. You know what the other ones do? Let's go. And listen, they don't even know where this guy's going. And they'll follow that sheep all over, and he'll go down here and just kind of go around the tree and come back. And everybody's back like, what'd we do that for? I don't know. I'm just following you. You know what people are? Copycats. Yeah. And you know how I know that? How many of you like NFL football? You know what people do? People take whoever wins the Super Bowl, find out how they did it, and next year their defense and offense will be just like theirs. Because they think that's gonna win them a Super Bowl. People are copycat oriented, and so are sheep, and so are people. Many times we do what others do. And a lot of times we don't think about it. Next, sheep are very slow learners. Very slow learners. You know what sometimes they have to do? They have to go through something over and over and over again until they learn the lesson, just like some of us. Next, they have very little discernment in choosing food. You know what they'll do? A shepherd has to do. A shepherd has to watch what his sheep eats, because he'll go eat something that's poisonous and not even think anything about it. Now listen, you know what? What I'm saying is Jesus said in John 10, we'll look at this in another study, but Jesus said in John 10 that there are some sheep that are not of this fold. You know what they're doing? They're out here eating weeds somewhere. That's where they are. They ought to be over here in the pasture with the rest of us, but they're out here eating weeds somewhere and briars and cactus burrs. He said, but they're out there. They're just not in this fold. Because sometimes sheep aren't very discerning as far as food. And folks, listen to me. You have friends, I have friends. You have family, I have family that cannot discern the truth. And you know what? They're out here eating cockaburrs somewhere. And they're out doing their own thing, and it's not the truth. And unfortunately, sometimes they even know it's not the truth. But sheep are not very discerning. Next, they're very susceptible to parasites. Every little thing that comes along, they're very susceptible to. How many of you ever heard the term pulling the wool over your eyes? Ever heard that? You know where that came from? That came from a shepherd. It came from sheep herding. Because what they do is they herd the sheep. One of the things they do with their staff is they take the wool of a sheep and spread it looking for parasites. And many times when the wool on a sheep gets too thick, I'll tell you something that happens there. Sometimes when it gets too thick, they can't do it. A lot of times that's called pulling the wool over your eyes, because you can't see, because sheep are very susceptible to diseases, parasites, things that cause them all kinds of problems. Next, they don't like to be sheared. They don't like to be sheared. And let me tell you something, I don't know anybody in here that likes for somebody to get on to you, right? But sometimes, can I tell you something? Shearing is necessary. Because if you don't shear the sheep from time to time, you know what happens to the sheep? They die. Because they get eat up with parasites. They get eat up with things that get into their lives, and they can't do anything about it because they're helpless creatures and they need somebody to shear the wool. Sometimes, you know what? The preacher got to step on a few toes sometimes. But it's okay, folks. You know, I've never understood this, but this to me, this is funny. It may not be funny to you, but it's funny to me. You know, it's amazing how we can go into the secular world and we'll go out and we'll do something that the boss doesn't care for, and he'll come and call us everything but a human being, and we'll just say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, and we'll go right back to our job. The preacher comes and says one thing about something somebody's doing. You know what they're doing? I don't like this flock. He's a bunch of mean sheep. That shepherd over there, he don't love us. But you know what? You know what they do? They'll go right back to the boss and talk about every family member they ever had and think nothing about it. Come on, help me out. You know it's true, right? We do. You know why? Because sheep don't like to be sheared. And many times, they don't like to give up things. Wool's a protection. One of the things, lastly, I want to talk to you about sheep is this. They struggle getting up if they ever fall over on their side. There's something, I didn't know this, and I learned this, maybe you already knew this, there's something that happens to sheep called casting. What happens is many times it's when they are not sheared, and there's several things that can happen in this. One of the things that can happen is when their wool gets too thick, and they get out of balance. And if they ever fall over on their side, it's almost impossible to get up. You know what they say that sheep will do? They'll lay there and die. Unless the shepherd finds them and helps them get back up. It's called casting. Now sometimes that they fall over, they get to a ditch, they trip over something. Hey listen, I like this one. Here's what they said. Sometimes sheep will just run around having a good time. They'll fall over on their side and can't get back up. You know what? Too many believers do that. We're just having a good old time. Next thing, they're going to fall over on their side and we're like, man. You see, sometimes they just get out of balance. Sometimes, listen to this, Sometimes they get knocked over by other sheep. Sometimes other sheep knock them over. And usually, you know what, listen, you know what usually when it happens? The pecking order. Because you go back, remember the pecking order? The butting of the heads to find out who's going to be in charge because I want this and I want that. And no, this is mine. That, folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing at this church that belongs to you or me. Amen. All of this belongs to God. This songbook's God's. This globe's God's. Everything's His. None of this belongs to us. It's about the Lord. And many times, casting or we get knocked down or other sheep cause sheep to fall. They get out of balance. And then sometimes they try to get rid of the parasites themselves. You ever seen a sheep get down there? They try to dust themselves and then finally they get down there trying to get the parasites off that they let the shepherd help them with it. He could have helped them. And they get down there and then they can't get up. All I'm saying to you folks, listen, have you figured out that sheep are dependent creatures? They're dependent. And listen, whether we realize it or not, folks, you need God. Amen. Yeah, you need the Lord. Oh, let me say something else. You need the church. You need the flock of believers. You need that. Now, I want to say something to you real quick and move on. Most sheep who stray from the flock don't make it. Normally what happens when a sheep isolates themselves, they become susceptible to predators. And you know when a predator comes, he's not going to run into the flock. He's going to wait and watch one sheep begin to make its way away from the flock, and he singles that one out. And folks, listen, that's the reason you and I need church. We need the flock. We need to be around other people. The second thing I want to talk to you real quick about is the pasture of the sheep. Go, if you would, real quick, Psalm 23. We're just going to read just verse number 2. If you'll turn there for just a moment, Psalm 23 and verse number 2. Psalm 23, verse number 2. Well, let me read verse number 1 while you're turning. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. Listen now. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, did you notice the pasture there served as not only food, but it also served as security? Because remember we learned last week, sheep do not lay down until they feel safe, until they feel secure. And then once they feel safe and they feel secure, then they'll lay down. Then they'll rest. And the pasture plays a huge part, church, in the health and development of the flock. Now listen to me, a poorly managed pasture will result in unhealthy sheep, restless sheep, and lethargic sheep. Write these things down. Number one, the pasture must be secure. If not, the sheep never rest. In other words, it has to be secure. In other words, it needs to be consistent. Listen, when you come to church, don't you kind of enjoy some consistency? Don't you kind of enjoy coming to church knowing that, you know what, we're going to preach from the same Bible? Not going to be one of choice this week. Not going to reflect one on the board here that says, now listen, if this is not your version, then you follow along in your Bible. We're going to read out of this one. To me, that sounds like confusion. Does it to you? And God's not the author of confusion. So isn't it great to be able to come to church and realize that there's going to be teaching and preaching out of one Bible? Isn't it comforting to come to church and realize that you're not coming to a rock concert or anything? You're coming to worship God. You know what? That feels good to me, right? I feel good when I come and worship God. So the pasture must be secure. Next, the pasture must have abundance of food and water. Y'all like eating? I do. I have a tendency to eat 3 times a day, sometimes more. But I enjoy it. And I have a sneaky suspicion that you enjoy eating too. Now, I enjoy the physical food, but I just wonder how many people enjoy the spiritual food. And you know that we need that more than we need the physical food? Do you know that we need the Word of God? We need to learn. We need to be preached to. We need to be taught the Word of God more than we need physical food. Sheep not only need a pasture that's secure, they need a place where they know they're going to come, and boy, we're going to put the feed bag on. Then we're going to drink some water. And when we leave here, you know what we're going to be? Full. I don't know about you. When I come to church, when I leave, I want my spirit to be full. Don't you? Yeah, I want my spirit to feel kind of like my body feels after Thanksgiving. Y'all don't feel that way? Let me say something else about the pasture. The pasture must be free of pests. Now, I want to say something right here, okay? Can y'all handle this? Do you know that it is the job of the shepherd to make sure there are not instigators in the flock, chewing on the ears of the other sheep, not trying to lead the other sheep to get out of the fence, not causing others to go astray. You see, the pasture must be free of pests. And listen, that's anything that could alter the health of the sheep. Now listen, church, sheep cannot produce the best wool unless they're pest-free. Now, doesn't this make sense? Now, think about it. Sheep cannot produce if they're in an environment where there's gossip, where there's backbiting, where there are people that are chewing on each other's ears, there are people showing their teeth, bullying other sheep. Do you know that sheep can't produce that way? Matter of fact, you know what sheep will do? See you. I'd just soon go live with the goats than to be here. Come on, help me out. You know what's true, right? They'd rather go live with the goats than to be somewhere where sheep chewing on their ears. So what I'm saying is, hey, listen, the pasture has to be pest-free. Listen, parasites or instigators that irritate the flock must go. You hear me? They must go. Because if they don't, they will infect the entire flock. Now, let's talk about the shepherd last week. Remember David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now think about this. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, it almost sounds like Paul said, follow me because I'm following Christ. Now remember, think about this now. God is the good shepherd, right? And you know how the good shepherd is going to love the sheep? He's going to love the sheep through the shepherd and other sheep. That's how he's going to administer that among the flock. Church, the shepherd is the stabilizer of the sheep. That's the reason he needs to be visible. Listen, the sheep should feel safe in the fact that he's watching over them. Hey, listen, they know if the shepherd has a heart for the sheep or if he's just a hireling. They know it. Because you know what? You know how they know? Because when they get stuck in the mud or they get in trouble, guess who's there to help them? The shepherd is. And he shows up. Hey, boy, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something exciting. As you know, Brother and Mrs. Raley are up in Kansas City. And they were there to attend the funeral of Mrs. Raley's stepdad. Well, also, one of our other members, Dan Turner, is up there with his mother who is very ill. And so I contacted Brother Raley while they were on the way, and I said, would you be interested in swinging by, maybe you and Brother Green swing by and have prayer with Dan and his mom? They said, we'll do it. You know what they did? They contacted me today. They said, preacher, had a great visit. We went by and got some flowers on behalf of the church, put the church's name on it, and went by there, had prayer with them, and gave them that gift on behalf of us. Isn't that refreshing? Hey, isn't that refreshing to know that there's sheep loving other sheep? That's how God operates. Hey, listen. Sheep follow the shepherd if they know the shepherd cares and that if he's following the good shepherd and he's not a self-appointed shepherd. Now, let me give you several things about the shepherd quickly. All right, here it is. Number one, the shepherd must be visible. He's got to be visible. The sheep need to see the shepherd frequently. That's one of the things. You ask any of our staff members, the buzzword among staff is be visible. Buzzwords. Okay? Listen, it's important. Why? Because the shepherd needs to be visible. He needs to be where the sheep can see him. And the sheep need to know, hey, shepherd, are you following Christ? Well, you know how you can tell? By his fruits. Check his fruits out and you'll find out whether he is or not. And if he is, follow him. If he's not, go find somebody to follow that is. So the shepherd must be visible. Next, the shepherd must be vocal. He's got to be vocal. It's amazing. It's amazing relationship a shepherd has with his sheep. And I'm talking about an actual shepherd and actual sheep. There's kind of a strange relationship there. But it's an affectionate relationship. And those sheep know that, if they know that shepherd loves them, you know what they do? Those sheep will come right up to him and they don't feel afraid. They feel that they can come. Hey, shepherd. They feel that they can come to him with just about anything that they're facing. And they can come and they can feel comfortable and they know that, you know what? That the goat and the shepherd says, I saw you get separated, and take your staff and... You know, the shepherd does that too many times. The sheep say, you know what? I'm going to think twice before I come talk to you. Right? Because every time I come, you hit me in the head. Every time I come, you're always poking. You see, all I'm saying is the shepherd must be vocal. Sometimes, you know what he's got to do? He's got to get the attention of the sheep. Next, the shepherd must be tested and proven. The shepherd must be tested and proven. Listen, church, security comes when the sheep see the shepherd face adversity. Listen to me. And he doesn't quit. When they see the shepherd face adversity and he doesn't quit, you know what the sheep are thinking? You know what? Hey, I bet if I face some adversity, he wouldn't quit on me either. Because listen, the thing about it, remember Jesus telling the story about the 99? So he brings the 99 in, and there was one missing. We'll study this later. One missing. What does the shepherd do? He makes sure the 99 are secure. Does he go after the one? Yeah, he keeps looking until he finds it. You know what all the other 99 sheep said? If that's you someday, he'll get you too. Yeah, if you ever get in trouble, you know what? He'd come after you too. If you ever get stuck in the mud, he'll come after you too. Oh, by the way, if you ever lip off, he'll come after you too. But he's going to come after you because he cares. He's going to come after you and make sure that you are in line doing what we ought to do. Listen, he stands between the sheep and trouble. You know what he's willing to do? He's willing to take it for the sheep. That's what he's willing to do. That's what a shepherd is. But listen to me. That we're talking about tonight, church, a shepherd that is following Christ. Next, the shepherd must keep the sheep on the move. Sheep have to keep moving. They have to stay on the move. You know what? They take sheep from pasture to pasture. They keep moving. They don't get stagnant. Because you know what sheep will do? They'll eat the grass all the way down to the dirt. So he's got to keep them on the move. So it's the job of the shepherd to make sure to keep the sheep on the move, keep it active, keep things going on at the church. Next, the shepherd must maintain the pasture. In other words, he's got to keep it healthy. You know what, church? There's nothing greater than a healthy church. There's nothing greater to come and be refreshed. Hey, so when you come to church, don't you like things to be nice? Don't you like for them to be fresh? Don't you like for things to be in their place? You know, it's the shepherd's job to make sure that to maintain the pasture. Next, the shepherd must rescue troubled sheep. That's going to happen from time to time. We've already talked about that. And sometimes sheep are going to find their way out of the fence and they're going to get out into the open. But you know what a shepherd will do? He'll go after it. Next, the shepherd must reassure the sheep that failure is not fatal. Do you know a person, people are going to fail. People are going to do things they shouldn't do. But failure doesn't mean that, or failing doesn't mean you're a failure. And failure doesn't have to be fatal unless you want it to be. Now, let me say this. Periodically, sheep need to be sheared in order to avoid parasites or from falling over. But you know what a good shepherd will do? A good shepherd will not compare his flock with another flock. But then again, guess what? Sheep shouldn't compare their shepherd with another shepherd. They're different. Different flocks, different needs. So there should not be some comparing going on. I think that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says. It's unwise. And by the way, let me say this, and I'm going to finish up. The neglect of another shepherd for his flock doesn't automatically dictate that all shepherds are like him. Okay? Did you hear what I said? I said just because another shepherd neglects his flock doesn't automatically mean that all shepherds are like him. Because all scenarios, all situations are totally different. Now, let's finish this up, church, and say this. Sheep must yield the product of their labor. You know what, sheep? That, listen, lamb chops, mutton, things like that, if you like that, wonderful. But that's not the main. You know what their main product is? Wool. That's what they produce. And that, as people of the Church of the Living God, there is a specific thing God wants us to produce. And you know what the main byproduct of the sheep ought to be of Trinity Baptist Church? Souls. Reproducing ourselves. Going after people. That should be our main focus. But you know whose job that is? It's the shepherd. If he's following the good shepherd, he'll keep the pasture safe. He'll keep it secure. He'll keep food and water there and make sure that when the sheep come in every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, there's something to eat and there's something to drink and that they feel safe. And you know what they can do? They can flock up and enjoy being at church together. I hope that you've learned something tonight. I hope that you'll take these things that have been mentioned tonight. Take them on, chew them, think about them. Because folks, listen, the Savior loves His sheep. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say, I'm saved, I'm a born-again believer? Preacher, I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. No question about it. If I died tonight, I'm going.